I'd like to begin our time in the Word this evening with a familiar passage of Scripture that reminds us of why we celebrate on Christmas Eve with a candlelight service. Again, I think you'll recognize this passage from John chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through Him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, yet the world did not know Him. He came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but born of God." I may have shared this with some of you before. I remember some years ago, I was speaking at a camp in up in Nebraska, and my at that time, I think we just had three kids. Jordan and Hagen were pretty small, and Bailey was just with us. And we, about midweek that week, one of the age groups that camp invited us to come for their campfire time. And with three little ones, we decided just to be easier to drive across camp than to walk. So we drove and parked on the gravel road there. We could see the campfire through the trees. And so we walked through a path in the woods and over to the campfire and had campfire with this group of campers. And it lasted a pretty long time. We were there till late. It was totally dark by the time we were finished, and I did not bring a flashlight. So we gathered up the three kids, and we headed toward this. So there was a circle of cabins. We tried to pick the one that we thought we had come in next to, and went behind it. There was a trail back there. We got on that trail, and it was pitch black. It was dark. No starlight. I don't think the moon was shining that night. It must have been cloudy. And I had a kid in my arms, and I'm walking through this trail. And I remember trying, you know, to make sure I wasn't tripping on anything. So I had my head down the whole time. And after a little while, I thought, man, we should have reached the road by now. And so I look up, and there's the campfire. We'd walked right around in a circle and come right back to where the campfire ring was. And so we went again to the cabin, found a different trail, and this time, the whole time I was walking, I kept looking back to the light, making sure it was still behind me, and eventually we did reach the road and found our car. This evening's passage tells us about a light that guides us in a much more important way, in a much more critical way. It is a light that guides us and directs us to eternal life with God. That is the light that we have come to celebrate this evening. It's not the light of a fire. It's not the light of a candle that we'll hold later on. But it is the light of Christ, Jesus, the light of the world. So what does that mean? Why is that so important that we remember it every year with a special service, to remember that He is the light? Well, it's because Jesus, the light of the world, came so that we might have eternal life. Tonight I want to share with you three things that as the light Jesus did so that we might have that eternal life. And the first one is that Jesus came so that we might know God. He came to reveal God to us. The first four verses of John's Gospel use this word for Jesus over and over again. And I said it right there, right? This word. Because that's the term that John uses over and over again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And just in case we're not sure that John's talking about Jesus later on, the verse I left off at verse 13 when I read it earlier, but verse 14 says, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth." And so the Word became flesh. The Word is Jesus. Now, this is the only time in any of the Gospels, in anywhere in the New Testament, that you'll find this particular term, this particular name used for Jesus. So why? Why does John choose this particular term to describe Jesus? Well, if you have the answer to that, I would recommend that you write it down in an article or a book. It'll probably get published, right? Because there have been hundreds of those written over the years trying to explain why this particular term is used. Now, for me, I always like simple answers. Oftentimes, the simplest answer is the best answer. And one that has stuck with me for years and years, when someone explained it to me this way, that John uses the term Word to describe Jesus because it is words that God has used to try to describe Himself, to reveal Himself to us over and over and over again. Throughout the Old Testament, God has given prophets who have spoken about who He is, who have tried to direct the people back to Him. And those words have been recorded, and the people of Israel had the written word of the Old Testament telling them about God. And yet time and time again, the people have strayed from God. They've wandered after other gods and chased their own ways. And so now God has sent us His Son, the Word made flesh, to dwell among us, that the person of God would be revealed to us. It is God's greatest, His ultimate revelation of Himself to mankind, so that we might see who He is, we might see what He is like. This morning in our service, I shared a story about trying to help a small child in the mall, and I'm not the best person when it comes to communicating with small children. That's why I had Bandy do the lesson with the children. A part of it is, you know, just, you know, trying to use terms, vocabulary that the kids will understand. But there's kind of more to it. My wife is really good that way, and she's tried to help me over the years improve in that area. And one of the things that I've learned that's really important with kids is not only do you have to use words they'll understand, but it really helps if you kind of get down low, right? You got to get down to eye level, and it also helps if you can sort of call them by name. You make it personal and speak to them that way. And in many ways, that's what God has done for us through Jesus Christ. He has come down to us and in a very personal way has shown Himself, has revealed Himself to all of mankind. Jesus came so that we might see God and that we might be drawn to Him. That brings me to sort of the second truth about Jesus as the light of the world. He's the light of the world who reveals God to us. He is also the light of the world because He has shined in the darkness. The light came to the darkness. Now, many of you understand that darkness is not really a thing, right? So children, if you're scared of the darkness, it's not really a thing. What I mean by that is darkness is simply the absence of light. You cannot create darkness. You just have to remove all of the light in order for there to be darkness. Last week in the adult Sunday school class, Dave Swissgood, who was teaching, shared about how he doesn't like to be in enclosed spaces. And so these cave tours that are so popular in northern Arkansas and southern Missouri, aren't all that much fun, because one of the things that almost in every one of those tours it seemed like they like to do is they like to take you into an area and they tell you to stop and not move around because they don't want to get sued. They say, just stand still and don't move. And then what do? They turn the light off, right? Whatever light they're using to guide you through the cave. And if you've ever been in that circumstance, you know that. I mean, you can put your face or your hand right in front of your face, right? Just like right here. You can feel the heat from your hand, but you can't see it at all. The darkness is that complete. It's that intense, so to speak. But then they'll flip on a lighter or maybe light a match or turn on a really small flashlight. And it's amazing because even in that complete darkness, even the smallest light dispels the darkness. And Jesus is a much greater light. He is the light of the world. The ESV translation that I read says that the darkness, a light shines in the darkness, verse 5, and the darkness has not overcome it. Now, if you have an NIV Bible and you've read this passage, which as I had many, many times in that translation growing up, it says that the darkness has not understood it. Now, both of those are very legitimate translations of that particular word. They're both valid ways of translating it. Depending on which way you go, though, it has a slightly different meaning to it, right? If we go with the NIV's translation and say that the phrase there is that the darkness has not understood it, it's talking about how Jesus, though he came as the light and he has shined in the darkness so that all might see him, that he has revealed God to us, that there are those who have not understood the light. There are those who have not been drawn to the light, but rather have maybe hidden from it. We'll talk more a little bit about that in just a bit, but the truth is this. I mean, if you've ever experienced this, maybe on Christmas morning, right? Your kids are a little over anxious, especially if they're little ones, and it's still dark outside even. The sun hasn't yet come up, but they're up. And what do they do? They'll come in, and it's time to open presents. Flip the light switch on. Right? And then there's that moment where you're just like, you can't think even. The light is too much. It's sort of overwhelming. There are some who will flee from the light. The ESV translation says that the darkness has not overcome it. Now again, that makes a lot of sense. John here is writing this gospel after the death and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the light of the world. And many who might be reading this gospel have heard of Jesus and his life and his ministry, and maybe they even know that there were those who opposed Jesus and those who would ultimately crucify him, that Jesus would die a criminal's death on the cross for our sin. But what John wants us to understand is that isn't the end of the story. The darkness has not overcome the light. Jesus is risen. And that light of Christ still shines in the darkness. His mission has been a success. His work has been completed. Light has once again dispelled the darkness, has had victory over sin and death. And folks, that's still true. Sometimes, you know, you turn on the news, and I'm guilty of this. Sometimes it's overwhelming. It just seems like sin and the problems related to it just continue to multiply in our world. The darkness continues to grow. But the truth is that wherever Christ comes, wherever the light comes, into whatever life Jesus enters, to whatever home he enters, into whatever community there is a light of Christ shining, that the light overcomes the darkness. And it doesn't matter if it's in a closed country where evangelism is not allowed by the government. It doesn't matter if it is in a prison where you would think, wow, those people, they're in jail, they've done all these horrible things. Jesus can shine his light into whatever dark place and provide the forgiveness of sin and eternal life, a new life in him. The light has come into the darkness. That brings us then to the final point this evening, which is that the light came to give life. Goes on in verse 6, says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now that's talking about John the Baptist, not John the gospel writer. John came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. John came to prepare people, that is the people of Israel, that they might receive Christ, that they might receive the light and believe in Jesus. He was sort of that warning that the light was coming, right? We talked about that a minute ago, when the light comes on suddenly and it's overwhelming. Well, John was there to prepare the people. He came as a witness about the light, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. The true light. Now, when I first read that, and probably have read it numerous times, my tendency is always to think true light as opposed to false lights, right? False teaching, false whatever. But that's not actually the emphasis here. Because the emphasis here is not that there have been false lights, but rather that there have been many, many lights over the years. Abraham, who pointed people to God. Moses, David, many of the prophets, all shining the light of God, the light of Christ into the world. And now the true light, the one that they have all been pointing ahead to, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the one who would set us free. The true light of the world is coming. And then it says, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. And again, we see that there are some who will run from the light. There are some who would prefer to hide in the darkness, who would prefer their own sinfulness to the peace and the light and the joy that is available in Jesus Christ, to the life that he brings, because that's exactly what it says in the very next verse. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. A new life as a child of God, who were born not of blood, not of the will of flesh, not of the will of man, but born of God. Jesus came to give life. Jesus, the light of the world, came that we might have a new life. Not like the old one. Not like the life that we were living in darkness. Not like the life that we lived when we were still captive to sin. But a life now with God for all eternity. Because of Jesus Christ, who is the light. So I was preparing this message earlier this week. For just a short minute, I thought about entitling it, "Don't Be a Cockroach." I decided against that one. It was just a very short minute. But the reason I thought about that is if you've ever, you know, been in a place where those particular pests, insects were prevalent, you may have had this experience. I remember once we were on a mission trip down south, and the place we were staying was not the greatest of facilities. And I remember every morning we would get up and we would go and turn the lights on, and right? What do? They run for the darkness, out of the light. There are some who will chase after the darkness. But Jesus came to give us light, to give us life in Him. He came to call us out of darkness and into His wonderful light. He came to show us who God is, to show us that darkness that is in us, and to show us how we can have life through Him. He gave His life for us. And He rose again. The darkness has not overcome the light. And we can have life now because of Jesus Christ. And so every year, we gather on the night before we celebrate His birth, and we remember that He is the light of the world.